Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 18th, and we're back with you. An exciting show today.
Yeah.
We've got a full house, and we're going to get to our guests in just a second. We're going to get phone calls as well. So we'll probably have like 52 people on the line or something, but you know.
Jam-packed show.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be cool. Beautiful day in LA while the rest of the country is freezing.
Yeah.
This says that all 50 states are going to freeze. So this is like, I mean, I don't know where in California they're freezing, but maybe up north.
Up in the Bay, maybe.
Yeah, or even northern than that, you know. But in Hawaii, they've got like below freezing degrees, 31 degrees in Hawaii.
Maybe at
below
night.
Below freezing. Well, they're saying this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. They're saying this is the coldest November morning since 1976.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I know. That's a long time. That's the year I came out here, actually. And that was the American Bicentennial. It was like 200 years to America. So I remember that. That was a good year.
Yeah.
So I guess it. So we're talking about like 38 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cold for Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cold. And typical, my mom gets, I've spoken about this now for like 2 weeks, but of course she gets here when it's a cold week.
Yeah.
She gets here tomorrow and it's supposed to be, I mean, it's supposed to be in the 60s all week. And I'm like, great.
Really?
Of course.
Well, but it's sunny, you know? I mean, for the most part, it's sunny outside, so.
I think I check the weather every hour, but it changes every hour. The five-day forecast changes every single hour.
Okay,
every
well, I'm here to different. Tell you, you're overdoing it a little bit.
I am, but I just wanted to be warm for her.
It's not up to you. It's not in your hands.
No. She's bringing the cold weather with her.
The best. It's just because you want it so bad, it's going to rain.
I know.
So just relax. So,
but it was supposed to rain this time last week. It said it was going to rain today.
Right.
So
I'm telling you.
Obviously,
I mean,
they have no idea.
Yeah, those long forecasts don't mean anything, you know.
Yeah. Unless, well, next week's supposed to be hot, so I'll take that.
Yeah.
Josie, I've been analyzing the weather.
I know, I know. But this is worrisome because they're saying, you know, I mean, it usually is never this cold in November.
Really?
So, yeah. So, you know, it's very unusual. That's probably global warming again, you know. Totally screwing up our atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it should be cold. I mean, you can't be picking out. I was playing Christmas music yesterday. And I was like, I can't play Christmas music when it's warm.
Yeah.
It's sunny outside. It just doesn't feel right.
I know. And especially on Christmas, it'll be sunny and hot. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes if we get rain, it kind of feels like Christmas here. You know,
right.
When it's overcast and stuff. But
no chance of snow.
No chance of snow.
But I feel like it doesn't even snow in England on Christmas Day because that's just too cliche. Why would it snow on Christmas Day?
Yeah, that's true.
So it never does. It's always after. Then sometimes the rare occasion that you get March, April snow.
Right.
That's really depressing.
So did you grow up in snow?
Yeah.
Pretty much? You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I went from scraping snow off my car in the morning to get to practice to swimming in an outdoor pool in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a change.
Tough life.
Huh? Yeah, I'm telling you. What a change.
Tough life, jumping into a nice warm pool, watching the sunrise.
Yeah. Not surprising so many people come out to California, you know? I
mean,
we've got like the best weather ever.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I just a couple things I wanted to bring up. Did you hear about, do you know who Charles Manson is? He's like, well, you're probably the only one who does. No, it's your age. But he was a criminal, and he's like sitting in jail now for forever. And he was involved in a string of murders and stuff like that. So he became like notorious, like a notorious criminal.
Gotcha.
Everybody knows him, right? And they've written books and movies and everything about it. But so apparently, and I mean, if you look at him, he just looks horrendous, you know.
Yikes.
He just looks like someone you don't want to mess with. So apparently this girl, and she is a girl, she's about 26, I guess, okay, young woman, whatever. I mean, not to call you a girl, you know, but...
young lady.
Yeah, young lady. But she's 26 years old, and she wants to marry him. So they got a marriage license. And yeah, so now why would you do something like that? You know, if you just didn't want to like get famous and stuff.
Is he in? He's out of jail.
No, he's in jail forever.
And she wants to marry him.
Yeah. Huh.
Does he have money?
He's got nothing. He's in jail forever.
Wow.
No, this is a case of someone who's totally mentally disturbed. Obviously, you know, because, I mean, they're never even going to get to have sex or anything. The most they get is hugging because he's in there for life.
Yeah. Can you even, does she even get that? Is there a white screen?
Well, they get to hug, but that's about it. You know, no conjugal visits like they call them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why somebody would want to.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I'm surprised they even let any prisoner really have sex with their wives or whatever, you know, their girlfriends.
Right.
I mean, you take away their freedom, you know.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally don't understand why they get these rights here, but they do. And
yeah, that's interesting.
I know. So... And she's okay looking. I mean, she's not that bad, you know. But that's probably not the point. Point is between the ears. She's probably totally screwed up, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, who would want to do something like this?
Yeah.
You know.
Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah.
And marrying somebody who's in jail, that's no life for you.
Yeah. I know. But, you know, who knows? Maybe she'll write a book and get rich from this.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hidden agenda.
I know. So, okay, well, let's get to our show because we have a very full show today and lots of guests. So we'll start with our guests in the studio. We have Mr. Thomas Bond. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Yes, and we have Frank, right?
Yes.
What, do you want to give your last name? I don't remember it.
Frank Marks.
Frank Marks is your name. And you guys are producing a movie. Are you still doing it right now?
Yes, we sure are, Sam. The movie is called... Red Man's View, and we've been working on it for quite a long time, but things are moving along very well now.
Very cool. So what's the movie about?
The movie is a Native American film. It takes place between the early 1860s all the way up to 1875, and it is a remake of an old Biograph 1909 film.
Oh, wow.
So it's very interesting. We have a wonderful cast. We have Michael Spears. We have Saginaw Grant, who is in The Lone Ranger, the recent Lone Ranger movie. Mm-hmm. We have Sean Waymaw. We have a lot of the... We have Eddie Spears, of course.
Quite a cast, huh?
A lot of Native American people. Actually, right. Eddie Spears, if I may say, he is a supporting lead in the new series called Hell on Wheels on AMC.
So. Very cool. Very cool. So you got quite a cast there. And so this is a fictional film, or is this... based on a true story, how is this? How does it go?
Well, actually, part of it is about a fictional band of Native Americans or a tribe of Native Americans. It's an offshoot from the Shoshone. But what is so interesting about it is the entire film is historically based. In fact, the only thing fictional about it is this tribe that the story is about.
I see. Okay. But the story itself is true.
Very true. Yes.
Oh, wow. Very cool. I like movies like that.
Yeah. And the fact that it's based off a 19, did you say 06 movie?
1909. Called Red Man's View. Yes.
Wow. So did you guys just come across the movie and think, wow, that's something we're interested
well,
in?
Well, actually, our company is Biograph Company. Our company made it back in 1909.
Oh, wow.
Because Biograph Company started in 1895, and that's our production company.
Wow.
So we decided, I think it's time for a remake.
Yeah. Huh? That's very cool. And so, Frank, I know you guys have been working together for a long time, right? You've been on the show here before with the Ghost Girls.
Yes, indeed, we have.
So how are you involved with the film?
Well, I assist Mr. Bond whenever I can.
Uh-huh. Frank is the executive production manager.
Okay.
I'm the one with the loud voice.
Okay. So this is interesting because this is a movie about Native Americans, and we don't have even one in the studio, right? So we're all white people here. And, but we're going to have several of the actors calling in during the show.
So yes, unfortunately, cool. Most of our cast, they are very active and they are out of town right now. But we do have Sean Wayma, who was in quite a few Native American films. He will be calling in. Victor Gage, he works on a film, a television show called The Red Road, that's on Sundance Channel. And Shannon and Shauna Baker, they couldn't make it in because they are going up to Canada to be presenters at a major award show up there.
Very cool.
So they will be calling in.
Yeah, we also had Jordan Lee. He was in Twilight. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it because his grandmother fell, and he had to take her to ER.
So okay. He's in the hospital right now as we speak with her.
Wow.
So. All right, well, cool. So we'll talk to them. But you guys are like behind the scenes pretty much, right?
Yes, all the way.
Are you the producer? Are you the director as well?
I'm producing it and directing it. Frank is the executive production manager. And I also did an adaptation of the story from 1909. So I wrote the screenplay, but not the actual story.
No, I see. Okay.
Wow.
And so how did you guys become involved in this? I mean, you know, obviously many people are oblivious to what's going on in the Native American culture and so forth. What drew you to it?
Well, what is kind of interesting is that we picked the project because honestly, Sam, you do kind of a marketing survey when you work in the film industry, like, you know, radio. I was in radio for a long time as well. And you want to find out what has been done and what hasn't been done. And I've always been very much of an advocate for the Native American community. My dad was very much so. And we decided that there has not been a real Native American film made with the leads that are Native American. Now, Dances with Wolves, yes, that was a Native American film, but it had Kevin Costner in it.
Right.
And even though he's got a little bit of Native American in it, he's still white.
Right. And he was portraying a white man.
And he was portraying a white man. That's right. So there was no real stars in it. And of course, there was Roots and there was a lot of other films that, you know, had a, you know, an ethnic group represented as the leads, and there was none for Native Americans, not even to this day. Right. You always have a white guy or a white lady as the lead that saves the Native Americans, and that's what's so unique about this. Back in 1909 and now, it was about a Native American band or a tribe that is there, and it's never been done to this day in the 21st century. So we went, okay, it's time to do this. You know, it's never been done.
There's a place for it.
Yeah.
And I see you have a lone white actor, Billy Drago. He was here on the show before. And he's pretty good, huh? He's been in Western
Billy has
before.
Been a friend of mine for many years. His wife, Silvana, was very much of an advocate for this film. She unfortunately passed away a few years ago. But Billy is involved. He plays the, I can't say too much about it, but the good bad guy, kind of the anti-hero. And Billy is also part Native American.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's very interesting. And Billy's a good friend, and he's such a fine actor. We also have another person that is a white person in it, Courtney Gaines, and he was in a lot of films. He was in Memphis Belle. He was in a bunch of television things, and he was in Children of the Corn, worked on several things with Stephen King. And he's one of those guys, his name you kind of know, but if you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I know who that is.
Right.
And he's involved. Of course, they are, except for Billy's a good guy in it, but the rest of the Caucasian people in it are the bad guys.
I see.
So, and we also, if I may interrupt, we're working on a huge name. I can't say who it is yet, but if we get him, he's going to be playing the evil Union Colonel in it. And he is just very well known in the independent films. He is an award winner. If I said his name, you would know it immediately. But he's just absolutely brilliant, and we are praying, please send the good energy. We want him for this film. So we're
Would be cool, right? So now, what's the film about? I mean, give us a little background about the plot itself. What's going on?
Well, what it's about, Sam, is it's about a Native American band of they're an offshoot of the Shoshone Paiute tribe. They're kind of a mix, maybe 200 or 300, and they have settled hundreds of years ago in Northern California. Well, the late 1850s and the early 1860s came along, and of course that was just an terrible upheaval in the country. And way out in this mountainous valley, it actually affects them. It is pretty much that's what it's about. And civilization comes to find them in their little area when the Union Army, and yes, there was a Union Army in California, people aren't aware of that, that there was a civil war here in California as well, not just the South. And they find this huge expanse of thousands of acres of land. Of course, Lincoln wants it. They want it. The government wants to take that land, you know, not any really different from nowadays. And they find a way to take it, and they evict them from their own land. And they have to move on, and then they're evicted from that land, and then they have to move on to another land, and they are constantly harassed by the Union government and also the U.S. government, which at that time, people don't really realize the Constitution was disbanded in 1861. There was no United States Constitution because what they were doing was so unconstitutional, there's no way they could have abided by federal law.
Really?
So they just nullified the Constitution and said, we're going to do whatever we want to, martial law, what have you. So pretty much that's it. It's about mainly this band, this family. It has Silver Eagle, which is the son of our chief, played by Saginaw Grant. Phenomenal Native American actor. And his fiance or his betrothed, Minnewanna. And they're going on with their life. They're going to get married. They're going along with things. And then here comes the U.S. government. Now we're going to change your lives and kick you off the land. And they do all sorts of really nasty things. And I do want to mention one more thing is that everything in this, it's controversial because it's showing history that is not brought up in the history books. It's verifiable. That's what's so unique about this. Mm. So people are going to look at this and go, I didn't see this in Civil War history or even in America history. Of course you didn't. But it did happen.
Right.
So
it's because we only are privy to the Western history books and what's going on. But I would imagine that Native Americans have their own history to tell.
Well, it's the Native American history, and it's just history, period. They have – there's things they did not want you to know. They had PR people in those days. The PR people – of course, of the old-fashioned sort, and they would take a leader and they would want to promote that leader to be a god or above a god to the populace to be able to get the support that they needed.
Right.
You know?
Histories.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's what they wanted to do on this. And so with this, even 150, 160 years later, people are very, how do I put it? There's some controversy. There's people that do not like us because of what we're doing, and we're not doing a United States bashing on here. The government was taking over. The government was taken over by a radical group, which was called the Radical Republicans during that time. We have if I may go on, Sam, there's a segment in the montage where Lincoln literally invades and fires upon New York, killing 30,000 people. This was portrayed in a movie called Gangs of New York, but Martin Scorsese could not tell the whole story because a big studio was backing him. And they didn't want the whole story out, so he just did it about the gangs. There was a lot more to it. So the some of the northern states, as well as the southern states, as well as the Native Americans, were at war with the government at the time. It wasn't just like a north-south thing. So a lot of people are surprised to hear that.
What year was this?
It started in 1860. And then after the election of 1861, that's pretty much when things started moving ahead, because the president, Lincoln, who had just been elected, had said one thing and then started doing another. One of the main things that he was in 1850s, he was a lobbyist for the Union Pacific Railroad, which was a huge corporation. This was like Microsoft or one of the large corporations now, and they needed land. They needed land in the South, and they needed land in the West to be able to run their railroads through.
Right.
And what a better way to get free land than through confiscation or a war. And that's what part of the cause of the Civil War and the quote-unquote Indian Wars were all about. It was about money, land, and giant corporations.
That's usually the case, right? With wars
and stuff
true. Like that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
We have a lady that's dying to talk here. Why don't we have you on the microphone?
Let me introduce. This is Kitty Pleasant, and Kitty is our promotions coordinator for Red Man's View.
Okay.
And she has helped us quite a bit, and she's just a sweetheart, and she's very much obviously supporting our project, so I will leave it to Kitty.
Sounds like, okay. So Kitty, I mean, you're just dying to talk, and you're sitting in the
I'm
background
so
and making and making gestures and stuff. So we figured we'll let you talk a little bit. So tell us a little bit how you're involved with the project. By the way, the movie we're talking about is Red Man's View. You can check it out, redmansview.com, and you can see the cast and the story and everything. So Kitty, back to you. How are you involved in the project?
Well, I'm a really good friend of Thomas. We both come from entertainment family background, so we've been friends for like a million years, and I think since he was like 3 years old, he's been wanting to make this film.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
Playing with his
about
little toy
years.
Indians.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to mention was it was very important to Thomas that everyone has some relation in the film to Native Americans. Mm. Now, obviously, we're not Native Americans, but Thomas has relatives that are Native American. Frank has relatives that are Native American.
Right.
And my daughter-in-law is over 50% Sioux. So it was really important to him that even if we weren't Indian, that we had a direct Indian connection with the film. He wanted everyone to be part of some Indian nation.
Right. And that helps quite a bit, you know, because, I mean, you know, obviously you need to have some kind of connection to this to be able to explore it, you know, in every possible way. Mm-hmm. So now the production is still going on, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, when do you guys anticipate to complete the film?
We're looking at shooting in 2016. We were going to do 2015, but we're kind of pushing it because we feel that it's going to give us a little bit more time. We're very picky on our location, and we're shooting it in Montana, which is very nice.
Yeah.
And we're shooting it over by the Flathead Lake there, which is very nice. We've been talking with the state, and they've been absolutely wonderful. So we're going to be shooting the majority of it out of state. And that's what we're looking at right now is 2016.
Sounds good. So that's like a long-term type of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have lasted, you know. I mean, I can't do projects that are longer than 2 weeks.
Well,
you know?
Actually, a lot of things in the movie industry, it's very unusual, rather than just television or radio medium, is being a year out from production is nothing. Actually, that is too soon.
Mm.
Every film that you see that's going to be out 2 years from now is in pre-production right now.
Right.
Right. Right. So you're expecting it to be out in 2016?
2016 or 17. It depends on our distributor.
I'm going to let a little secret out. Thomas is really anal, and he's a history buff. Right. So he's continuously evolving and learning, and anything new that he learns, he's in his office revising the script. I'm like, no, I'm not reading another script. Exactly. You changed it last week.
About 45 revisions we've
exactly.
had so far.
But he wants to really keep it authentic. So the more information that he gets on location, on tribes, on anything that has to do with the history, he tries to incorporate it into the script. Right. And, I mean, hopefully by the time the film is in production, he won't drive everybody crazy.
A normal producer thing. And, unfortunately, I don't – the writing staff is me, myself, and I, and then a few undisclosed friends that will not – do not want their names revealed.
Okay, well, we've got the first phone call coming in, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with this morning?
Hi, this is Shannon Baker.
Hi, Shannon.
Baker, the Baker twins.
Yes, Shannon. How you doing?
Shannon?
I'm great.
Go ahead.
I said I'm great. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Marina Del Rey.
Oh, so you were here in L.A. Good, good.
Yes.
Are most of the cast here in L.A., Thomas?
Some of them are, but a lot of them are. Sean Waymaz in Las Vegas. Victor Gage is in Tennessee. And Mike and Eddie Spears live up in Montana.
Oh, wow.
So everybody's pretty much out of town.
Yeah, very diverse group. So, Shannon, how did you become involved with the project?
Actually, Thomas actually reached out to me, and we had a meeting, and we clicked. So since then, we've been a team.
Awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good. So are you Native American, too?
Yes, Shannon? I am.
I see. Okay. So the cast is pretty much all Native Americans except for Billy Drago.
Shannon actually plays Minnewana. She is our leading lady in the film. So She is the leading lady. So she is the love interest of Silver Eagle, who is played by Michael Spears. Okay. And her twin sister, they're twins, her twin sister.
Hi. Hi,
Shauna.
Oh, you're here too, Shauna? Okay.
Yes.
So were they playing the same role or something?
Oh, no. She's playing another supporting role in it, but both of them are in it, but it's just kind of a unique thing that both of them are identical twins, actually. So.
They are identical, but they play different characters.
Yes.
Wow, very interesting. So, I mean, how do you pull that off, you know? I mean, people might think it's the same person.
Well, this is a great plug for my makeup artist, but the head of our makeup department is Adam Brandy, and he is an Emmy-winning and Emmy-nominated guy. I don't know how many awards he's been nominated for and won, and he was the head makeup department on a show called Deadwood, if anybody remembers that. Mm-hmm. He did phenomenal Westerns, and he's just absolutely an award-winning, brilliant guy, and we are so happy to have him on. So he's very good at making people look different from each other.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my shameless plug, so we're real happy about that.
So how excited are you guys to be able to work together? Because do you work together a lot but kind of play a similar role rather than two different roles?
We're actually really excited to play a role where we're not twins or we're not sisters. So we're both really excited. We've never done it before, so this will be the first, and we're really excited, and we're really happy that Thomas gave us the opportunity for us to do something like this.
Yeah. So you both are actors anyway, right? I mean, you've been acting before this. Right. This is cool. So have you both followed a similar path in your career?
Yes, yes. Well, half of our credits are together and half of them are separate. And we both started modeling at the same time and we both got into acting at exactly the same time.
Oh, wow.
And we both auditioned for the same roles all the time.
Really?
So it's a strange kind of rivalry.
What if one gets the role and the other one doesn't?
We'd rather one of us get the role than neither of us.
Yeah.
So, and support each other, too. If Shannon has an audition and she got a call back, then we both work on it and vice versa.
Wow.
Sounds good. So,
her stuff is mine and mine is hers, so we help each other out.
Right.
Nice.
So it's Shauna and Shannon. I mean, it's kind of confusing, huh, to keep up with both the same look and similar names as well. Very cool.
S1
and
S2.
Yeah. We like twins people.
I know. Twins are always very fascinating the way it works. I know. Well, ladies, so how long do you think, how long do you think the production is going to take? Like,
It usually takes about 5 to 6 weeks, we're looking at in filming? Montana. Yeah, that's what the filming is going to take. Usually post-production is about 3 weeks, but we're going to be doing, it's going to be really interesting. We're using some very interesting secret camera lenses and what have you. They have not used. As a matter of fact, we have a lens, the same type that Stanley Kubrick used in a movie called Barry Lyndon. So the actual look of the film is going to be completely different than anything seen within the last 40, 50 years. Wow.
Right.
Something like that.
Wow. Sounds good. Now, ladies, do you have you acted in films that are not related to Native American stories as well?
Actually, we were so afraid of getting typecast as Native Americans that for about a year and a half, we actually refused to audition for Native American roles,
yeah.
Just because we were scared of being pigeonholed into that role. But just in the last few years, we're like, you know what, let's start doing that. After we accumulated some credits, so we play a lot of, we've done a lot of sci-fi type stuff, and people think that we look ethnically ambiguous, so we've been able to play a lot of different roles that don't actually require a race. So this is probably the first time that we've ever actually played Native American, both of us together.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm sure it's touching you in a way, you know, because you have a certain relationship to this culture, and obviously so. Yeah, you can relate.
Well,
totally.
Great to get attached to movies that didn't represent Native Americans in an appropriate way. A lot of movies, they make up languages, and the cool thing about this movie, Thomas and Frank actually decided that they wanted to be as authentic as possible, and that's what made us become interested in the film in the first place.
Very cool. Well, we're looking forward to that. And
well, if I may interrupt, Sam.
Yeah.
Also, Shannon, and I don't mean to, I'm a little this morning. I'm a little wiggy this morning. But aren't you guys a representative of the First Nations up in Canada, up in BC?
Yes. We're Danae from the Tsleil-Waututh First Nation. Hey, everybody. We actually did a tweet about this, so some of them might be listening. Hi, Tsleil-Waututh. I'm our carrier, Danae.
That is great. And also, not to take Sam's show over here, but you're going to be hosting or co-hosting one of the, ACTRA Awards up in Canada coming up very soon.
Yeah, we're presenting the awards. It's the Union Awards of Canada. It's like the SAG.
Union of BC.
It's like the SAG of Canada. Basically,
very
cool.
Yeah. Very nice. Well, congratulations to you and your careers and everything. This sounds great.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to seeing you in the movie, and that's it. So we're gonna let you go now because everybody else is calling as well, and I want to give everybody the opportunity. So
great.
Thanks.
Don't
for
forget
calling.
To check out our website, www.thebakertwins.com.
What is it again? You give it
www.thebakertwins.com.
And they
and
said
you
it
can
together.
Also find us on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much. Do you ever speak separately or is it always together?
It's by accident.
Sam.
Always by accident. People just
Sam, people I heard think a that rumor that planned, but it's
really. Kitty says you even date twins. Is that correct?
At times I do.
Yeah, it freaks people out.
Oh, wow. I'm sure it does. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us this
bye,
morning.
Girls.
All the best to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's take another call now. I know they've been trying to call for a long time. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
This is Richard Gage.
Yes, Richard. Good morning. Thank you for calling
Victor.
In. Oh, Victor. I'm sorry. Victor Gage. Thank you for calling in, Victor. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Very good, very good. Where are you calling us from this morning, Victor?
I'm calling you from Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Oh, from Tennessee. So you're the one in Tennessee. Is that where your home is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be traveling to Montana to do the shooting as well, right?
That's correct, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, but that's like, what, that's next year or a year after? That's 2016,
it's
right?
2016.
2016.
Spring, early spring
right.
of 2016, yeah.
Let's hope we're all still around. So, Victor.
Yeah, I've been working with Thomas on the cultural aspects of this movie as far as the legitimacy, I guess, and the truth behind the culture with the tribe nations involved in this.
Right.
To make it as truthful as possible. You know, he doesn't want to put up another movie that's generally going to be, you know, a Hollywood stereotype.
Right.
Know, when it comes to Native people, we're trying to do this as historically accurate as possible.
Right.
Well, I'm going to interrupt here for a second and brag on Victor. He has done some amazing things that has helped us with character development. And Zahn couldn't be here either today, but Zahn McLaren, he's in a show called Longmire. If you guys have ever seen that, it's a pretty popular show on cable. And what it is we put in, which was really fascinating to me, and Victor found this, a character that is called the Whip Bearer. And what they are is they are like the security guard or the police of the band or the tribe. They've never portrayed this that I've seen in any Native American film. I didn't know this, that they actually had a security guy for the tribe.
Right.
And he even had a security uniform that he wore that was different than the rest. So anyway, right. I'm bragging on you, Victor. And Victor found this, and this was just blew me away. No other film has ever even done this. So.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
And thank you, Victor. Victor's also going to play, I'm going to plug, you're going to play the elder, which is really a cute part. He is an older gentleman. He's an elder, but also he's kind of a character in the group, and that's all I'm going to say. But it's really he's going to do a great
Victor,
job. So I'll
he
let
just
you go
said
there.
You're cute.
Yes. Yeah, it all depends on the perspective. You know,
you're so cute.
I'm looking forward to this whole thing getting done, and when we can start shooting up there in Montana, because I got a feeling this is going to really take off quite well. Yeah. You know, the very ideal of having Native people in your lead roles, you know, it's generally something that hasn't really been done. I mean, there's been some movies out there like Dances with Wolves where Native people have taken what could be considered lead roles in it, but of course, the lead role in every single one of them has always been a non-Native person.
Right, right.
And to turn it around this time, so that your Natives generally taking the lead role, whereas your non-Natives are taking supporting roles, it's a big switch.
Right.
You know?
It gives you a different perspective on things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, so have you had like a long acting career before this film?
Well, I started off, I guess it was back in the early 80s in New York City after I got out of the service, and I went and moved to New York City, and I did modeling. A lot of it was print ads for Macy's, Bad Burgers, NGO. I think my first thing that I actually did was a Bazooka bubblegum commercial back in the 80s, and taking it from there. The last thing I did was actually on Sleepy Hollow a couple of weeks back. Episode 16, I was just on Sleepy Hollow, worked on a number of different things, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Very cool. So,
so you've been... let's see, the one, new Anchorman 2, a few other things.
Oh, wow.
So staying busy.
Andersonville, Red Road, that's on Sundance Channel. Yeah. And
very cool.
A few others. Yeah,
Victor, is there like a large Native American community in Tennessee?
Not in Tennessee. Now I live about 33 miles over the mountain from Cherokee, North Carolina. The eastern band of Cherokee Indians there. They had the reservation there in Cherokee.
I see.
But as far as like in Tennessee, there's really not a large Native population here.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sounds good, Victor.
Okay.
Well, much success with the film. I know you're going to do great.
Thank you.
It's a great cast,
right.
Great people, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the film.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Victor.
Bye.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Take care,
Victor.
Victor Gage. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to talk to the entire cast. They seem like great people.
They're wonderful people, nice. Yes. Yeah.
It sounds like
Sean Waymon is supposed to be calling in. I don't know.
Well, they believe in a project, too, so or that's what's so important. You right. know,
is yeah, exactly. There's a certain connection to
exactly.
it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that, you know, because I think there's been, like, stereotypes of Native Americans, usually in films and stuff like that, you know. Often they've been portrayed as the bad guys, especially in older Westerns and
absolutely.
Stuff like that, you know.
Absolutely.
It was always the cowboys and the Indians, and people are raised to believe that Indians, American Indians, are the enemy, which is not the case at
not
all.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Okay, let's take another call. I think this one's from Vegas.
That's Sean.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Morning. Yeah, this is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
I got
how are
Thomas
you?
Thomas's hint.
What's that?
I got Thomas's hint. He said I was supposed to call in, so I guess that's my cue.
Yeah. That's your cue, Sean. How you doing,
yeah,
buddy?
Tom is here.
I'm here.
Is this Sean Michael Perry?
Is
this
no. This is a Sean Wayma.
Oh, I see, because I'm looking
this
here.
This is the other Sean, yeah.
Okay. So let me just find you here.
Oh, Sean plays Wayma. Morocco. Okay.
Morocco, right. I can see that. Sean, so you're calling us from Vegas today?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Has that been your home for a while?
Well, for a few months now, yes. I moved down from Vancouver, B.C.
Oh, wow. I see. Is that where you grew up, in Canada?
No, Vancouver is just a beautiful place I wanted to live.
Uh-huh.
I actually grew up in northern Alberta, Canada.
Oh, wow.
Vancouver is beautiful.
Yeah. But you're still from Canada, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sounds great. So how did you become involved with the project, with Red Man's View?
Well, I've been an actor for many years, and there's always a Native American acting community, and we support one another in the films we're in. And Shannon and Shauna Baker were talking about Thomas and the film he was doing, and they really wanted me to be involved. And through that, I started communicating with Thomas, and he invited me onto the film, which was very exciting.
Yeah,
sounds good.
I also want to include that Sean is just a phenomenal actor. He has done, well, I'll let him tell you because I don't want to butt in here.
Well, yeah, well, I didn't want to say anything.
No, please no, brag. Now's the time to brag,
yeah,
Sean. Sean's very nice that way, but no, now's the time to let everybody
know. You can
know,
brag, yeah. The spotlight
he is an absolute phenomenal actor in what he does with his emotion and his characters. I mean, he's a real super pro on
sounds
what he's
good.
Doing.
At so. What point in your life did you get involved in acting, Sean?
Well, it's a funny story. There's a long history of Native American roles in acting which are not portrayed by Native Americans.
Right.
And I grew up with that belief that we weren't playing Native American roles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we had one channel up in northern Alberta, and it was CBC, and there was this new show called North of 60.
Uh-huh.
And I just happened to be watching, and there were like Native American people playing Native American roles. And the first thing I thought in my mind was, we're on TV. And then I thought, we're allowed?
Well.
And that pretty much opened up a whole new doorway, a whole new, dream.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it urged you to want to get into acting.
Yes, right from there. I went from rock star to movie star.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty good thing. At least you don't. I understand you don't like sitting in an office from 9 to 5. That's obvious there. So have you had like diverse roles in your career, or was it always pretty much a Native American role?
Well, when you look like me, you can't play anything but Geronimo.
Oh, now you know what my mom said about you. He looks. Does anybody remember Randolph Scott?
Oh,
does
yeah.
anybody remember
yeah.
Randolph? He looks just like, I mean, a twin
really?
Of Randolph Scott, except for he's got long hair. He looks just like him. So that's what he looks like.
Man.
That's hot.
That's
exactly.
Yeah, right. Kitty thinks it's hot. Okay. We get a woman's view here.
Yeah. Well, Charlotte's here. Charlotte thinks it's hot, too.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is, actually.
Yeah.
It's hot, trust me.
So, Sean, do you have to travel to L.A. for work often?
No, I just moved here, and this is as close to L.A. I want to be. I mean, L.A. is so busy. It's such a different change from Vancouver, B.C., where it's very laid back.
Right.
Auditions are laid back.
I know. But all the work is here in L.A., right? I mean, you have to come here to find the work and stuff. So how did you pick Vegas? Is that just because it's a smaller place?
I've been thinking of a good story for that. I just can't, you know, think of it as a calling. You know, this is as close to L.A. I want to be.
Yeah.
But I really love the heat. And I thought that I was escaping the heat, but it is cold here right now.
Yeah, I know. It follows you everywhere, right?
They have winter.
Yeah, Vegas does get cold in the winter. I remember that. I lived in Vegas. And it's pretty cool there. But it's like become such a big city now, you know. It's not like it used to be. And it's gotten pretty crowded as well. But I can imagine it's progress for you for coming from Canada where it's been freezing and that, and now suddenly you're like in the desert heat, you know.
Well, there's one thing I can say about Vegas that surprises me is that it has a huge spiritual community.
Oh, really? Wow, that's interesting.
Like if you go on Meetup or Facebook, you'll find so many groups. And I've already been to quite a few different meetups. Mm-hmm. Where it's just such an amazing, vibrant community, and I feel welcome here.
Very cool. Wow. Now, did you, as a Native American, did you always feel compelled to like learn your history and understand like your roots and things like that? Was that ever a part of your life?
Well, I think that for most people, it's just you just are Native American, and you pretty much know the history through film and through word of mouth. But mm-hmm. I was just lucky enough to have a cousin who was an archaeologist who would bring me these books to read. And one of them was Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. And it's funny because down the road I played a character in that movie.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, we are running out of time. I just saw the clock and we're almost out of time. Sean, thank you so much for calling. We're really looking forward to seeing you in the film and everything. You're going to play Morocco, right? That's the name of the character. And yeah, this sounds great. Sean, thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, well, guys, we only have a couple minutes left. We want to wrap this up. The movie's Red Man's View. You can find more on redmansview.com. And there's the entire cast. You can see the people that were on the show, on our show that we spoke to, and the rest of the cast there. You also have Rick Mora, whom I met, great actor. And he's been on the station. And Crystal Lightning, very beautiful. Great actress.
Actually,
well.
Crystal is going to, she couldn't make it today, but she will be on a couple of other shows here on LA Talk Radio. And she also worked with us in Ghost Girls, too.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you guys still have that Ghost Girls things going on?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
My mother passed away last year.
Uh-huh.
So we kind of shut everything down. She was very much an integral part of the show as well behind the scenes. And so we kind of let things go for about a year. We could afford to. And next year we're going to start back at it again. The show's done. It's in the can. We just need to post it and then get it over to our friends at one of our friendly networks that we know.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Kitty, any final words on the show that you want to add?
I'm just really excited, like I said. And, you know, for me, like I said, my daughter-in-law is over 50% Sioux, so my grandchildren will be registered with the Indian Nation. So this film is very special to me.
Sounds good. Now, what do you so this is like your full-time work now that you do
I'm
this?
No, I'm a broke socialite. I just do whatever I want.
Oh, you're a broke socialite. My
morning.
God, man. Everybody
her,
wants
her
to
family
be
is in the music industry. Tell them who your cousin is.
My cousin's Nile Rodgers of the band.
Really? Band. I remember band Nile Rodgers.
She's one of the biggest
Very
music
creative.
Producers in the history of the world.
She's a lot of music.
Madonna, David Bowie, Diana Ross. I mean, and Duran Duran. Anybody you can name, he's produced. And I just ended a production with him as a video script consultant. So there will be a new CD out called Habibi Love, and it's going to debut in Poland and Dubai and work its way to America.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so
sounds
if they
great.
Get Emmys, I get Emmys. Not Emmys. What are those things called? Grammys?
Grammys.
What are those other things called? Oscars?
Yeah. We want one
things.
Of those.
Yeah,
looking forward to those. Okay.
I'll take anything.
Thomas Bond, Kitty, Frank, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
all
you,
the
Sam.
Cast that called in, thank you so much for calling us. Much luck with the film.
Thank you.
And please come back when it's finished, and we'll check it out.
Thank you
Sounds
for having
wonderful.
Us.
Thank
okay,
you so
for
much,
sure.
Sam.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.